south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, let's start out with a very interesting email today. This one's from Callum and Julia in Panama City, Panama. Pay attention, lots of good stuff here. He says, Johnny, I'm so glad and relieved that the wife and I got out of Dodge so we can live the rest of our old lives in peace and sanity. Callum and Julia from Panama City here. We're longtime listeners and first-time complainers. I'm 62, just started collecting Social Security, and my wife's 58. Been in Panama since just before COVID. Admittedly, things were COVID nuts here too, just like in the States, maybe worse, but it's back to zero enforcement and normal mañana time as usual. What a relief. That means the place is cleaner, too. No more masks floating in the gutters after every rain. Only the usual plastic bottles, straws, and wrappers. You're right, Johnny. Latinos are little piggies. They'll never learn. Anyhow, I hear and read all the backlash from woke people up north about the terrible boomers and how we, my wife and I are boomers too, have ruined and poisoned the world for them and our kids and grandkids. With white boomers, like us, being the worst, obviously. And now I'm reading that up north, white men who don't bow to woke management are no longer welcome anywhere in corporate America. Johnny, my grandkids are just starting middle school. What am I supposed to tell them? Funny thing, though, Johnny, and I think you mentioned this before, I live in Panama now, and the term boomer or millennial, in fact, none of those generational labels mean anything to Latinos here. Though I can't say for sure that doesn't happen to Latino rich kids here who graduate from helicopter or bubble schools and universities. I imagine in those expensive bilingual schools, the kids all speak English, and I'm sure they're all addicted to those brain viruses, Instagram and TikTok too. I understand wealthy Latino kids are on social media in English, so I'm certain they have the brain virus too. All right, Callum, let me cut in just for a second with my two cents. Here's something interesting. Did you know that fake book, Dick Cock and Instacrap? All those anti-social media sites that are in Spanish here in Latin America have completely different content than their English counterparts. You must understand less than 1% of Latin Americans follow that stuff in English. That would be, as Callum said, the children of the rich who go to those expensive bilingual helicopter schools. So then you might ask, what's the difference, if any, whether those anti-social media platforms are in English or in Spanish? Well, you might be surprised to know, since Latinos here in Latin America are putting out all that content in Spanish, there is only a tiny percentage of wokeness on those platforms. Meanwhile, up in the States, those platforms in English are simply infected like the plague with wokeism. So there is a big difference. Though Latinos, especially adolescent Latinos, are addicted to the media, just like kids up in the States. And that's not a good thing. They have not yet anyway, been infected with the woke virus. So I guess you could say they're lobotomizing themselves only half as fast. Case in point, as Callum points out in his email, they don't even know what the terms boomer or millennial or any of the generational labels mean. So if you were to explain in Spanish, of course, to a Latin American kid or young adult down here that the boomers up in the States are under attack by the wokesters, unless you were talking to an entitled rich kid, you know, that's less than 1% of the population, they wouldn't know what the hell you were talking about. Good to know, don't you think? All right, back to the email. Colin says, I have two kids in their late 30s back in the States, who, by the way, think me and the wife are a little nuts for moving south of the border. Our two kids have careers and decent jobs in business and the sciences, though they're feeling the pinch of the kind of inflation they never experienced before in their lives. Though, thankfully, they never went the easy liberal arts career route, as some of their friends did, who are really suffering now. They've got friends with degrees in journalism, psychology, sociology, etc. Even a lesbian friend who took gender studies, and they're certainly paying the price financially now. But even though my two kids have steady jobs, they've got no nest egg. And they've got young kids now, too. My two grandkids. And I really fear for their future. I personally recommend against having kids, unless you move to Latin America and bring them up there. Never would have imagined myself saying that a couple of years ago. Meanwhile, you've got people out there like Elon Musk telling people to have more kids. Easy for him to say with his toe. Let's see how his turn out. He says, I wouldn't place any bet that they don't turn out to be heavily pierced and tattooed like his weird exes. Remember the girl with only one name called Grimes, who is having her ears surgically altered to look like an elf or Yoda? Great role models kids have today, huh? If even guys like Elon Musk have no idea, certainly the rest of us must be lost. Then he says, I for one was certainly never prepared to have to tell my white grandsons that the world hates them and that they must be prepared when they get called out by woke kids. Be prepared for the backlash. Be prepared to get stomped on, battered down, and spit on. How can you tell a 10-year-old he must be on guard the rest of his life and that his trajectory in life should be as an entrepreneur, not an employee? Because if he ends up working for the man, especially at a big corporation, he will be marginalized, indoctrinated, lobotomized, and feminized. And if he doesn't play ball, he'll get a pink slip. Not to mention the abuse he'll surely take on social media. Though I fear even the self-employed, the entrepreneurs, will run into issues with their woke clientele and the government trying to enforce diversity and their twisted version of employee equity. So I'm thinking, Johnny, with the wokesters in charge of the first world now, are there enough of them to even competently run the world and keep it chugging along? Doesn't look that way. Will there be any smart people left who don't want to be TikTok influencers or gold-tooth rappers? Wait a minute. Me, Johnny here, butting in again. Speaking of rappers, do you know why they call them rappers? Well, expat Eddie says, contrary to popular belief, it's because they all have rap sheets. And I'm sure that's easy to prove. Oh, by the way, here's a story for you, and it's totally on PC, of course. Being that, in a past life, I was a B-grade musician. Played in a lot of groups and did a lot of tours and stuff, though I'm not playing in a group now and I don't tour anymore. I still have some contacts fairly high up in the music biz. So, not so long ago, I was talking to one of my buddies who's a music producer in California. Where else, huh? And he told me something very interesting. He said, Johnny, you know, lots of very famous groups do tours through Latin America. I said, yeah, I've seen quite a few. He said, a lot of has-been former superstars come down, too. I said, yeah, that's right. That's a big moneymaker for them. Yep, popular English music sells big down here. It's that gringo advantage thing. Latinos seem to like, even love, everything that comes from the first world. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Anyway, I confirmed the fact that lots of has-been groups come through. You know, groups that had a big hit or two back in the 60s, 70s, even 80s. And when they peter out up in the States, they find a second wind, a second audience. In a way, it's funny and hard to believe. Even though they're way past their prime and they can't even get a lounge gig at the Holiday Inn in Vegas, somehow they can sell out big venues down here. Because, you know, there are lots of gringo oldie stations down here, and if they're in the rotation, even smaltzy and saccharine so-called artists like Michael Bolton and Kenny G can do a tour down here and rake in the dough. Yeah, isn't it funny? I just noticed that Kenny G is touring Latin America. Can you believe it? Now there's a guy who's about as hip as a white guy with an afro. Just when you thought he'd pawned his clarinet and went into the dumpster diving business. But nope, he's on tour down here and people are buying tickets. Mostly the over 40 Latino crowd, of course, who speak a little English and listen to those classic U.S. oldie stations. Anyway, my buddy, the music promoter up in the States, said, did you ever notice almost none of the famous U.S. rappers ever tour Latin America? Even though Latin America is a huge market for them, they got tons of sales down there. They just don't come down. I said, you know, you're right. I never see black American rappers touring down here. Everything but. All the has-been white boy bands come down, but no black rappers. He said, you want to know why? He said, because more than three quarters of them have a felony charge or two or three. Now, they can get passports all right after their probation time's up, and they can travel. But there's a whole list of countries that won't give you a visa or let you in if you've got a previous felony charge, which really puts the brakes on a world tour. And remember, rappers have big entourages that travel with them, and most of those guys come from the ghetto and have felony charges, too. Get the picture? Though they do make nice role models for your kids, don't they? By the way, same thing goes for those reggaeton guys, reggaetoneros. Except this time it works in reverse. 90% of those guys are from Latin America, and a big percentage of them have felony charges in their countries, too. meaning they're restricted from having travel visas in many countries outside of Latin America. The fact is, most all first world countries won't let a person have a visa if he's got a felony in his home country. That's why even the most famous multimillionaire platinum-selling reggaetoneros here in Latin America don't tour the States, Canada, or Europe. Many, if not most of them, have been in trouble with the law and cannot qualify for a visa. Now, you boomers might remember that happened with John Lennon. He had a marijuana conviction in England, and they wouldn't let him into the States. Of course, he lawyered up heavily, but it took him a couple of years to resolve that case. It cost him millions. He found a loophole and ended up living at the Dakota on Central Park. Remember how that turned out. But I digress as usual. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. Colum's email. He says, Johnny, will there be any smart people left in the first world who don't want to be TikTok influencers or gold tooth rappers? Will anyone but pasty super nerds who can't dribble a basketball have the motivation to go into the sciences? Will there be meaningful technical progress going forward to keep the world from rusting out and ossifying? Or are we truly going down the toilet and headed in reverse back to the dark ages? He says, how many green and purple-haired gender studies majors does the world need? Schools are graduating them by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands. I'm afraid the toilet's too clogged up to flush. Then he says, yes, every influencer with more than 100 followers blames us boomers for everything. But since life has been so easy for those Xers and millennials, etc., they never consider what'll happen to them as the world unravels. The question to ask is, who would you rather be stuck on an isolated island with? A woke millennial with a soft brain and soft hands, with a socially acceptable resume, or an old boomer who built his own hot rod from spare parts? A guy who can fire up a dead generator, who knows how to fish, hunt, and swim? A guy that can fix a broken chainsaw? Those times are coming up rapidly when those real-world skills will be definitely needed. And the only people that harbor those skills are the boomers. All right, meet Johnny jumping in again. Here's a fun, disturbing fact. Did you know that only 10% of the people born after 1990 know how to swim? Or swim well enough to be able to save themselves? While 70% of boomers can swim. That's a revolting development, huh? All right, then Colum goes on to say, Johnny, our kids and grandkids can say what they like about us boomers, but when we die out, we take our calloused hands, common sense, and technical skills with us. And the wokesters will get their payback. They'll get the world they deserve. Then he signs off by saying, keep up the great shows, Johnny. Colum and Julia in Panama City. He tags on a P.S. It says, P.S. Panama is not the laid-back paradise it once was, Johnny. Too many gringos now trying to terraform it into south of the border Miami. It's getting to be quite an irritant, but me and the wife are too old to make another move. But if we did, it would be to a place like Guatemala or Salvador. Any move is rough and stressful, but multiply it by 10 if it's a move out of the States. We can vouch for that. We don't regret it, though. Best thing we ever did. But if we were younger and had to do it again, we'd move to the Altiplano. We've done a few road trips through Nicaragua, El Salvador, and Guatemala. You're right, Johnny. The Altiplano is the greatest. Don't have one here in Panama. It's hot, 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 sweat through your shirt. Keep a bar of deodorant and a case of beer around hot. But you do get used to it. I did fairly quickly anyway. The wife? Not so much. She's not a beer drinker. She drinks wine, and that's not refreshing when it's hot. I know this is an extra long PS, but I had other thoughts while writing it. One last thing, Johnny. We thank our lucky stars we didn't pick Costa Rica. It was a flip of the coin, and Panama won. I say that because we're meeting disgruntled expats all the time who moved here to Panama from Costa Rica. Many are throwing in the towel on that fatally overhyped paradise. You know, Panama has a border with Costa Rica. So we run into gringos all the time who tell us about how they're continuously gouged by Costa Ricans and gringos. Thank God we dodged that bullet. All right, thanks for that, Callum. I don't have much to add, except to say to all you listeners out there, if you haven't got that plan B started by now, man, you're going down with the ship. Sorry to say. Anyway, let's talk about the disgusting topic of sweat. Ew. Since Colum brought up the fact that in Panama and, well, in lots of Latin American countries, it's hot, hot, hot. For some, that could mean a perpetual layer of sweat. In fact, I know quite a few gringos and expats who don't live in the Altiplano now. People living in the lowlands and coastal regions, beach lovers and such, who change their clothes and take showers 2 and 3 times a day. Question is, Are you the sweating kind? How much do you sweat? Of course, you know it runs the gamut. Some people hardly sweat at all, and others, as soon as the temperature hits about 80 degrees, they're just dripping wet. Some people, you feel sorry for them. They sweat so much. Then there's the fact that some people can sweat and get ripe in a hurry, and some people don't get ripe at all. Now, again, if you're in the Altiplano, you don't have to worry about that much at all. So then why am I bringing this up? Well, it's because of something I've noticed after being down here a long, long time. You start sweating less over the years. Your body becomes accustomed to the heat, though never as unfazed as the locals. It can get extreme, too. For example, Latinos and Latinas, being that this is their native land, oftentimes you'll be sitting with one of them at a table, at a restaurant, whatever. You and the rest of the gringos hanging out with you will be sweating up a storm, and the Latinos are as cool as cucumbers, wearing many more layers of clothing than you are. Even crazier, I can't think of a single instance where I've seen any Latino or Latina with those ever so embarrassing armpit rings that you see once in a while with gringos and expats. It's one of life's strange mysteries, I guess. Now, as far as the deodorant thing, if you're in a warm climate, of course you're going to sweat a little more than usual, and you're probably going to use a lot more deodorant whether you need it or not. Erring on the excessive side, just in case. Now, you heard me say in a previous show that Latinos and Latinas use lots and lots of cologne. Probably double or triple what the girls and guys do up north because, well, since probably 95% of the land in Latin America is in the lowlands, not in the Altiplano, that means it's hot, people will sweat more, but if you have air conditioning, no problem. However, at low altitudes and on the coast where people really need air conditioning, well, people with money have it, but still, I'd say about 70% of the population, being that they're middle and lower middle class and poor, they just don't use air conditioners. They use fans. And if they have an air conditioner, they only use it only when absolutely necessary, because electricity's always been very expensive. Another thing I've noticed, and you will too, Latinos almost never throw anything away unless it's absolutely impossible to repair, which is a good thing to a point, but it has its downsides. For example, lots of times you'll see, especially in older homes, very old air conditioners. Man, those old AC units are terribly inefficient. Oh, they cool all right, but they're super energy hogs. In fact, an air conditioner that was produced, let's say, 25 years ago, uses three times the energy as the brand new ones. So, for example, if you have an old air conditioner unit in a bedroom, and of course there's the additional problem that there's no weather stripping around the windows or the doors, or no double pane windows, anything like that. So, if you're in an older home with an air conditioner in the bedroom and it runs all night, that could add $75 a month to your electric bill. And you'd probably want to do that if you lived on the coast. You'd have to run it every night, or be miserable. Thing is, if you bought a brand new AC split unit, it would cost maybe $400 or $500. If you ran that unit all night, the electricity would probably only cost you $25 a month. It would be absolutely worthwhile to replace the old unit right away. It would only take about a year or so to get the payback. But Latinos don't have that mindset. No one does the calculation. They just wait for things to get so old and broken down they can't be repaired anymore. Instead of doing the simple math, the fact is 99.999% of Latinos wouldn't even know where to start. That's why Latin America is just filled with these horrible old energy-sucking air conditioning units. If you've been in Latin America and stayed in an older Airbnb, you probably know what I'm talking about. Of course, that doesn't apply to you if you live up in the Altiplano, because then there's no air conditioning or heating bill. Anyway, we're talking about sweating and how especially newly arrived gringos and expats will sweat 2, 3, 4 times as much as Latinos sitting right next to them. And most newbies are shocked out of their minds when they look up on a roof and they see a bunch of guys working in the bright sun, putting down tar or whatever, with barely a bead of sweat between them on their foreheads. Another one of life's strange mysteries. Anyway, another reason I'm talking about sweat is because some people sweat profusely on just one part of their body. It could be hands, soles of the feet, armpits, trasero. You remember that word from last show, right? Well, get this. Not so long ago, I accompanied a young lady to a plastic surgeon's office. Yep, that'll happen if you've got a Latino girlfriend or know some Latinas down here. Plastic surgery is a big thing here. You've heard me say that before. So, naturally, I was shooting the breeze with the ladies in the waiting room, finding out what they're there for and all that. You know, here in Latin America, ladies and girls are completely unafraid to tell you about their plastic surgery experiences. They look at it as a badge of honor, because pretty much only people with money can afford it, right? And or middle class or lower middle class ladies who have a boyfriend or lover who'll ante up. It's an age old story. The beautiful girl from the wrong side of the tracks or living in the barrio catches the eye of a guy with a little dough. He takes her to the big city and saves her from a life of poverty. In the meantime, he shells out for all the requisite makeovers, including the nips, tucks, and whatever. Anyway, while I was sitting in that plastic surgery waiting room with probably 8 ladies, I discovered that two of them were there for a special treatment called iontophoresis. I never heard of that before, have you? But there were pamphlets on the front desk, so I took one and read about it. It was in English and Spanish. Turns out it's a new or fairly new technique to stop people from sweating excessively. I thought, yeah, right, this must be BS. But I checked it out on the internet, and it's 100% true. All kinds of major university double-blind studies prove it. It's all about sending a modulating electric current in a certain way across the areas that sweat. After a certain number of treatments, usually 2 weeks worth, for 10 minutes a day, the sweat glands in those areas are completely deactivated. Now, it's not a permanent treatment. The ladies have to go back for one 10-minute treatment every 2 weeks to a month forever. But it does work. In fact, the white papers say it works in about 94% of cases. And the two ladies I talked to there had been having treatments, and they swear by it. No more sweat. Both had suffered from excess axillary sweat, you know, armpit sweat. Not a good look, especially for ladies who are out and about. So anyway, when I got home, I researched those machines, and all the professional ones are around $500. And you might ask, why did I do that? Well, I know a lady who suffers from that very same thing. And get this, at the plastic surgeon's office, they charge $150 for the first round of treatments. That'd be 2 weeks of daily treatments of 10 minutes each. And $50 every follow-up treatment, usually once a month. And as mentioned, that would be forever. So I got together with that pretty young Latina in question, you know, the one that has the same problem. Ordered one of those machines from the States for $500, exact same one they use in the plastic surgeon's office. She did the first couple of weeks and is absolutely delighted with the results. By the way, the machine has three attachments, one for the armpits, the axillas, one for the hands, and one for the feet, or butt. So anyway, just thought you might like to know that. I mean, hey, could have been you or me. Now, think about it. Anyone who goes to the surgeon's office will pay enough to buy one of those machines in like 6 months, right? Why does it take a gringo to figure that stuff out? Now, of course, those ladies in that waiting room were all upscale ladies. They had money, you could tell. Of course, they had no idea of the actual cost of the machine and didn't care. Anyway, just know there is a treatment available if you suffer from that problem yourself. It's called an iontophoresis machine. And if you want to know the exact machine to get, the one my lady friend bought, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you off the info. Though if you're in the United States, you might not be able to get that machine because I noticed when I ordered it for her, you had to be a medical doctor to get one. You had to put down your license and state and all that. Unless, however, like many restricted things, those rules didn't apply if it was being shipped overseas. Latin America, you gotta love it. Oh yeah, you might be wondering, does the treatment hurt? It is an electrical current, right? Well, the ladies undergoing that treatment said it's just a tiny little trickle, no pain at all. And remember, it's only 10 minutes a day for 2 weeks. And one 10-minute treatment every 2 weeks to a month from then on. Quite a little moneymaker for the doc, right? It's what they call evergreen. Oh, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention something about deodorants themselves. Now, I imagine most of you guys and gals listening to this show know that there's aluminum chlorhydrate in stick and bar deodorants, right? Aluminum chlorhydrate. That's the active ingredient that works better than anything on the market. However, we must also reason, that is people in the know, that aluminum is not safe. It doesn't belong in our bodies. In fact, Alzheimer's victims, all of them, have microscopic traces of aluminum in the plaques in their brains. So then where's that aluminum come from? Well, cooking utensils, cosmetics, pots, pans, aluminum foil, industrial processes, and deodorants with aluminum chlorhydrate applied directly to your body. So naturally, you want to eliminate the usage of that stuff. So you get stainless steel pots and pans, get rid of those aluminum coffee makers, and switch over to deodorants that don't have aluminum chlorhydrate in them or any kind of aluminum at all. Easier said than done, man. I've tried it. Oh, there are plenty of alternatives out there, all right, including using natural lemon juice. Or you could go around smelling like a backpacker, hippie, or Romanian tourist. No offense to Romanians. Lots of Eastern Europeans have that going for them. I guess it goes back to those Soviet bloc days when there was only one brand on the shelf, always in short supply. Anyway, if you go on Amazon, you'll see there are at least 10 different brands of deodorant whose claim to fame is they have no aluminum or aluminum chlorhydrate in them. And all of them work for a while, but only for a short while. Just no staying power. After a couple hours, you can tell the difference. So, I don't know. Someone's got to work on that. Now, I'm asking you listeners out there not to send me emails with your own recipes. Not unless you've actually lived a while here in the tropics and have tried it out. I'm sure a lot of those substitutes will work fine up north, but down here, around the coasts and in the lowlands, you're talking worst case scenario. So no new age cures or homegrown recipes, please. Unless they've had the acid test down here in the tropics. Just saying. Oh, and by the way, this particular subject gives additional weight to the notion that Latinos and Latinas in general are not nearly as inquisitive or creative as your average gringo American expat. Because, you know, every time I've brought up that aluminum toxicity issue and aluminum and Alzheimer's connection, it's turned out to be completely new and amazing news to any Latino or Latina I've mentioned it to. It seems like no one, or at least no one I've ever spoken to, and I've talked to many of them, even educated ones, have ever heard of it. Unless, of course, they were children of the rich and went to helicopter schools or studied abroad. You wonder, how's that not news here? Same thing goes for that fluoride thing. I'm sure that practically everyone who listens to this show knows about the dangers of fluoride. It's a poison, a most toxic substance. Look it up. Even dentists up north by you are starting to get embarrassed talking about it. The thing is, down here in Latin America, when you go to the store and buy salt, at least 3/4 of the brands, local brands, have iodine and fluoride in them. Well, the iodine part, that's probably okay. It prevents goiter. And iodine, of course, is good for a nuclear attack. Then again, so is kissing your ass goodbye. Anyway, when I'm in someone's kitchen and I see a salt shaker, I look at it to see if it's got fluoride in it. I don't allow it in my house. And yes, there are some brands in the store that don't have it. Anyway, as it turns out, every time I try to explain to someone that fluoride is not so good, I get blank stares. That does happen, you know. You're sitting around the table at someone else's house, eating dinner, and you look at the salt shaker, it's got fluoride in it. I'll say, this is not good, you should get rid of it. And give a short recap why. You know, over the years I've been in that situation and had that discussion many times, and there hasn't been a single instance where the owner of that house or anyone at the table knew what the hell I was talking about. I had to explain it to him. But, you know, people will be people, and the first time it usually doesn't sink in. So, next invite, next dinner, no change, same salt. That, of course, means same thing goes for the salt they use in all the restaurants and all the foods cooked with that salt. Then again, up in the states where you live, most water supplies are fluoridated. So every restaurant you go to and every dinner invite you get has it baked into the mix too. However, one of the really good things about living in Latin America is that they do not fluoridate water supplies at all. So even if you get a little dose of it once in a while at a restaurant or at a dinner at someone's house, that's small pickings compared to the amount of fluoride that's saturated the food supply up in the states. Just remember, everything you buy in the store that's been cooked uses tap water that's fluoridated. Reason 4,645, why it's time to get that plan B, get the hell out of Dodge while you still can. Have you ditched your aluminum pots and pans yet? You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.